Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Satrupta Sarashi Shrimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivijakacharya Satrupta Sarashi Shrimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Namachaya Salaharidas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakohomsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadweta Garad Hard Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatam Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Text Number 35. Iti yukta sakala papo, bhojanam kula pamsana, bhaginim hantam arabdam, kadgapani kache grahit. Iti yukta sakala papo, bhojanam kulapam sana bhaginim hantanaravdam kadga pani kache grahit. Ityukta sakala papo bhojanam kulapam sana Bhaginim Hantam Arabdham. Yadgapani Kate Gahi. Ityukta Sakala Papo. Bhojanam Kurapam Sana. Bhaginim Hantam Arabdham. Kadgapani kate gahit. Ityukta sakala papo. Bhojanam kulapam sana. Bhaginim hantam arabdham. Kadgapani kate krahit. Ladies. Ityukta sakale papo. Bhojanam kurapam sana. Bhaginim hantanarabhyam. Kadgapani kahe kachit. Ityukta sakala papo. Bhojanam kurapam sana. Bhaginim hantanarabhyam. Kadgapani kate gahit. Ityukta. Thus being addressed. Saha. He. Kamsa. Karaha. Envious. Papa. Sinful. Bhojanam. Of the Bhoja dynasty. Kurapam sana. One who can degrade the reputation of his family. Sorry. Bhaginim unto his sister. Hantum arabdam. Being inclined to kill. Kadgapani. Taking the sword in his hand. Kate. Hair. Agrahit. Took up. Translation. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Please repeat. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Purport. Keshava, can you leave that up? Because I'm going to use the word for words after the purport, okay? Thanks. Kamsa was driving the chariot and controlling the reins with his left hand. But as soon as he heard the omen that his sister's eighth child would kill him, he gave up the reins, caught hold of his sister's hair, and with his right hand took up a sword to kill her. Before he had been so affectionate that he was acting as his sister's chariot driver. But as soon as he heard that his self-interest or his life was at risk, he forgot all affection for her and immediately became a great enemy. This is the nature of demons. No one should trust a demon despite any amount of affection. Aside from this, a king, a politician, or a woman cannot be trusted since they can do anything abominable for their own personal interests. Chanakya Pandit therefore says, Visvaso naiva kartavya strishu rajakuleshu cha. Om agyanati mirandasya gyanandana sarakaya chakshurun militam gena tasmai sri gurave namaha ityukta sakala papo bhojanam kurapam sana bhaginim hantam arabdham kadgapani kate krahit. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing the omen from the sky, this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. In the commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's one nice explanation. Then in order to find out the action in any given sentence, one should look at the root of the verb, because the root of the verb reveals the action, what's taking place. So here, there's a couple interesting points. That Kamsa is Kala, he's envious, and he's Papa, he's sinful. Because of those two qualities and natures, therefore he's a disgrace to his dynasty. One who can degrade the reputation of his family. In Braj today, 5,000 years later, no one likes to hear about this person. That's how bad a person and his inclination, his motive for acting is so bad. Just like Ravana. It's been millions of years since Ravana appeared. Nobody likes Ravana. Ravana is not a likable personality because of this. Because his motive for acting is not good. It's bad. Then in the next sentence, we see that the what is the action? He grabbed his sister's hair, but with what intent? Agrahit, let's see. Arhabdam, hantum arhabdam. Being inclined to kill her. This reveals the nature of the person, the root of why he's acting, reveals the character. So, Kamsa, he's actually, a few weeks ago, we read about Rupa Goswami's dramas and different techniques for introducing characters. You may remember that, because we were talking about Bhumi and the problems that she was experiencing, the time and the circumstance which were making the situation correct and proper for the advent of the Supreme Lord. This is still, now it's being expanded upon a little bit. Not only is the world covered by military phalanxes, but it's filled with military phalanxes of people like this. It's a more of a direct detail. So in any good narration, in any good story, and anything that's exciting or suspenseful or thrilling, there has to be two sides. We can't just say that Krishna came to the material world, lived a happy life every day, everybody was happy around him, they were all in ecstasy, they played in the forest and covered each other with different flowers and minerals from the forest and went home every night. And they really had a nice life. And then he left. That's not an ecstatic development of plot and encouraging, enthusing. But what has to be there is two different things. The protagonist, which is our hero, and the antagonist, which is the opposite. It's either a demon or an adverse personality or a challenge. For example, one of the more famous authors in the world wrote Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is mystery novels. Something happens, and then there's challenges for the hero to figure out how it happened, who did it. I looked up before I came, antagonist. Who are the greatest antagonists of all time? I was thinking maybe it would be nice to get some help. Keshava, do we have the other microphone? Who can think of a really good demon? really good, somebody that really inspired a story or narration? And what were those qualities?
Judah.
Who?
Judah. Judas.
Judas. Judas is a very good one. Judas is a good one also in this relationship, because we're seeing that Kamsa was appearing affectionate, appearing devoted. The other day, there was a discussion, Gaudi Prabhu was thinking that perhaps nobody really liked Kamsa. The nature of demons is not like that. The nature of a really good demon is that you like him. He's surrounded by people, and there are different kinds of demons. This person, Kamsa, in our vision of the story, is we immediately don't like him. Immediately. Right in the beginning of, he's being introduced. All of a sudden there's an omen from the sky. He's driving his sister's chariot on her wedding day, and immediately we don't like him because he takes her hair and he's about to kill her. So he's an immediately dislikable person. But leading up to that, he must have been a somewhat likable person, otherwise he wouldn't really be in that situation where he's driving the chariot of his sister on the wedding day. If there was so much tension and nobody really liked him, and there's one famous statement about the devil. The devil's greatest asset is that he can make you believe he's not there. So his greatest quality is that it makes it look like he's not there. So the demons, even in the world today, there are demons. But how do you find them? Who are they? Who's pulling the triggers and the puppet strings on the economy, on the wars? We could say it's the modes of material nature, but there are people who are actually ill-motivated. Chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita describes these type of people, both kinds of people, but mostly this kinds of people. So, we didn't get any help. Who's a good demon? Radha Dhamma? Oh, yes, we did. Judas. So Judas, let me just finish up, because Judas also appeared to be a devoted disciple of Jesus. Right? He was in the group. He was part of the disciples. But for some gold coins and some pressure on him, he buckled. And he turned in. He lost his self-respect. So he's a weak personality. He's a weak demon. He's a weak antagonist. And later on, he regretted his activities. This is one kind. Radhamadar? Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is another one. Good one. To establish a systematic death, including a whole country of people, with a very systematic process of taking people from their homes, putting them in concentration camps, gassing them to death, taking their goods and making different things out of them, and burying them and destroying them, while the whole world was practically unaware for many years of what was taking place. He's a good demon in that way. Babu Prabhu. Very good. Very good. For those not near the microphone, Babru was pointing out that another criteria of Adolf Hitler was that he charmed an entire nation. You see the pictures, you can see the movies of these young men lined up in awe of him giving a speech and inspiring them how we are the Aryan culture and we should be world dominant. So this is another really good antagonist to world peace and nature. It was interesting. Out of all the different demons, Professor Moriarty of Sherlock Holmes was one who was one of the top, at least in modern day, because he was a super intelligent person. It's not that, like in the movies, they show the demons like with animal-like features, big teeth, and not good looking. Think about the demons in the world today. Whoever they are, probably dressed in a coat and a tie, or a dress, or a skirt, or whatever, all looking proper and nice in front of everybody as they go through their daily business. But their nature is what we have to try and ascertain by that root of what is the motive that makes one act. And therefore we come up with kamsa. Here's another nice example. Little bit later on, I didn't want to pick something too close to what's going to be spoken of in the next month as we lead up to Janmashtami. So this is later on, after Kamsa has sent so many demons to try and kill Krishna. Finally, Narada Muni came to him a second time. Remember, when he gave the first child back to Vasudev, Narada Muni and the demigods wanted to make sure that this was going to happen, make sure that Krishna was going to come and that Kamsa was going to continue his nefarious activities. So he explained to him what was happening. After all those demons had come and tried to kill Krishna and Balaram, again Narada Muni went to Kamsa and explained to him that you still don't understand. Every single demon you sent to Braj has been killed by the person who's going to kill you. His name is Krishna. He's a cowherd boy. He's the son of Nanda Maharaj. His brother is Balaram, and he lives in Nandagram. He actually pinpointed it. Krishna was like, what, 11 or 12 years old at the time. So Kamsa wanted to send a Krura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And this is how he used, what politics he used in doing so, and how he dealt with a Krura. Kamsa called for Akura, one of the descendants of the family of Yadu, into which Krishna was born as the son of Vasudev. Here we're reading today that Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty. You may remember, for so many weeks, we were reading the big list of all the different kings up to the time of Yadu. So the Bhoja dynasty is one dynasty. If you go back to your computer, if you want to look it up, look up Surasena, S-U-R-A-S-E-N-A. And in Wikipedia, they actually have a pretty good map of how the world looked like at the time of Krishna with all the dynasties. Magadha was Jarasandha's. Then the Vrishni, the Panchala, the Kurus, all the different dynasties and where they lived. So Kamsa was the son-in-law of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, from that particular map, and they have a lot of references from Mahabharata revealing how they've put that map together. Magadha was more or less Bihar and Bengal, eastern side of northern India. So they, Jarasandha, was very favorable to Kamsa. The king of Mathura at the time was Ugrasena. But when Kamsa married the daughters of Jarasandha, with Jarasandha's help, he usurped Ugrasena's position. Ugrasena is Kamsa's father. Who is Devaki's father? Their brother and sister, right? So who's Devaki's father? If Kamsa and Devaki are brother and sister, and Ugrasena is Devaki's is Kamsa's father, who is Devaki's father? Radha Damodar? No. So, King Devaka. Because we just read how previously King Devaka arranged for the nice dowry. What happened was that Devaka and Ugrasena were brothers. So Devaki and Kamsa were actually cousins. But if you've ever lived in India or known their culture, especially back then, families are big. A person would have several mothers, several brothers and sisters, several fathers, because they all lived such tight-knit families, they would consider one another family members. So Kamsa and Devaki are more or less friendly. So what they were so friendly that Kamsa was driving her chariot. So Kamsa, from the Bhoja dynasty, knows that he wants to, and then Nanda and Vasudev were also related. Nanda is a member of the Yadus. Nanda and Vasudev have the same grandfather, Devamita. Devamita had several wives. One of them was a Kshatriya, and one of them was a Vaishya. So Nanda was born of the Vaishya wife, and Vasudev was born of the Kshatriya wife. So Kamsa, understanding this political scene, is asking Akrura, another member of the Yadu dynasty, to his court. When Akrura came to see Kamsa, Kamsa very politely shook hands with him and said, "My dear Akrura, actually, I have no better friend than you in the Bhoja or Yadu dynasties. You are the most munificent person. So as a friend, I'm begging some charity from you. Actually, I have taken shelter of you just as King Indra takes shelter of Lord Vishnu. I request you to go immediately to Vrindavan and find these two boys named Krishna and Balaram. They are the sons of Nanda Maharaj. Take this nice chariot, especially prepared for the boys, and bring them here immediately. That is my request to you. Now, my plan is to kill these two boys. As soon as they come into the gate, there will be a giant elephant named Kuvalyapida awaiting, and possibly he will be able to kill them. But if somehow or other they escape, they will next meet the wrestlers and will be killed by them. That is my plan. And after killing these two boys, I shall kill Vasudev and Nanda, who are the supporters of the Vishnu and Bhoja dynasties. I'll also kill my father and his brother Devaka, because they are actually my enemies, and are hindrances to my diplomacy and politics. Thus, I shall get rid of all my enemies. Jarasandha is my father-in-law, and I have a great monkey friend named Dvidvida. With their help, it will be easy to kill all these kings on the surface of the world who support the demigods. This is my plan. In this way, I shall be freed from all opposition, and it will be very pleasant to rule the world without their obstruction. You may also know that Sambhara, Narakasura, and Banasura are my intimate friends, and when I begin war against these kings who support the demigods, they will help me considerably. Surely I will be able to rid all my enemies. Please go immediately to Vrindavan and encourage the boys to come here and see the beauty of Mathura and take pleasure in this wrestling competition." Does anybody remember the qualities of a demon described in the 16th chapter? English? I'm talking about the one where it says, "I've killed my enemies." Very nice.
Yeah, powerful. Ishroham Ahambogi, Siddoham Balavan Suki. I've killed my enemy. I've killed one enemy. I've killed my other enemies. I have so much today, so much more I'll have tomorrow. I'm surrounded by these relatives, very aristocratic.
It's just like so typical. It's perfect.
Yeah.
He fits the bill. He's the man.
He's the poster child, they call him.
I was trying to think of all the demons. Like I said, Ravana, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakasipu. But we know on a little bit more rasikic level that Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a cowherd boy. He thinks himself a cowherd boy. When Yogamaya, Leela Shakti, covers the scene, just like with Mother Yasoda, he ran from her in fear. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was fearful. He was crying. He was shaking. His cudgel was coming down his face. He was so afraid that she was going to whip him or hurt him, punish him. This is how Leela works for Krishna. It actually covers his nature. So what makes Kamsa unique out of all the different demons that there have been and are, that Leela Shakti can insert this personality who will bring about the greater the challenge, the better the demon, the more intricate and complex the plot, the more pleasure when our hero is successful, the more character development that takes place, the more people involved, the higher the mountain, the better the pleasure when the hero gets to the top. So why is Kamsa such a big person? You go to Braj. He's famous. Still, these people, he's got a reputation that precedes him. Why? What makes him so terrifying? So I was appreciating the concept right here. He's grabbing who? Whose hair is he grabbing? Krishna's mother. Krishna's mother? No, you don't grab my mother's hair. This, and also, we read, like the other day I read about Vyomasura. Vyomasura is one paragraph in Krishna book. Of course, they're out playing, they're on Govardhan Hill. They were, some boys took the position of cowherd boys, some took lambs, and some took police constables and thieves. So Vyomasura came and he played the part of a thief, and he stole the boys who were playing as lambs and put them in the caves of the mountain and put the stone in front of the mountain. Krishna knew this, picked them up, whipped them around, threw them, killed them, went and got the boys, took the stones out, and it was a one-day affair. Putana was a one-day affair. Trinavarta was a one-day affair. Keshi was a one-day affair. Kamsa was a pinprick from today until the day Krishna killed him in Mathura. It was like 13, 14 years that this person constantly was a pinprick in the whole culture of Vrindavan. Not only that, it magnifies the beauty of our hero. Our hero, one of his foremost qualities is Paritanaya Sadunam. Krishna loves his devotees. Krishna will do anything for his devotees. Krishna told Jayan, he told the four Kumaras when Jayan Vijay offended them, I will lop off my own arm if I find it offensive to the Brahmins. I'll lop off my arm if I find it offensive to my devotees. So this intrigue is being introduced today by Kamsa's activity, by Kamsa grabbing her hair. The stream of Ras has been excited. And now Leela Shakti, throughout the next 14 years, will churn, and that rasa of intrigue and dislike and so many different emotions. Imagine Vasudev and Devaki. We heard the other day, Tamahar Prabhu was explaining that when Vasudev was born, there was another omen, another voice from the sky. The son of this boy will be an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev's mother told him that. So his whole life, he knew that when he was born, he was destined to be the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, where are we today? We're the day after the marriage. My understanding of Vedic weddings is that the husband and the wife didn't live together for a couple of years before they got married. They weren't like in the apartment living together. They had never met. It was an arranged marriage by their parents. So they were together one night. And now this is the next day, the day after, is when the marriage procession is going. Now anybody who's been or had a wedding, and most of the people, I think everybody in this has partaken and knows what a wedding involves. So much preparation, so much anticipation, as the girl, especially in the girl's family, prepares. And we read about Devaka's dowry. How many hundreds of chariots, all decked out, elephants decorated, cows, girls that were going to go with Devaki. Months and months of preparation, the mother, the father, the pleasure. If we were screenwriters and we were going to try and write this into a play, this would be what we'd expand upon, and you show how everybody's enjoying. And then you have the other side, you have Vasudev and his family preparing, and finally they've gotten together. Now it's we read about how Devaki, when she heard the omen, she became gladdened. Why? Because the night before, Vasudev must have told her that when I was born, there was an omen that stated that my child will be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means you're going to give birth to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore she knew this. So they're on the chariot. Imagine how ecstatic they must have been. And the development of rasa depends on this slow moving development of anticipation and build up. We read it in a story in a couple of sentences. That's what meditation means. Meditation means expand on it, go into it, fluff it out, try to understand each event, and then we can enter further into the lila. So as they're going on the chariot, all of a sudden this omen comes and they're ecstatic, and the next moment he grabs her hair and he takes his sword and he's going, boom! Wow. Wow, what an event. It's ecstatic on one side, it's horror on another, it's ghastly on another, it's chivalrous on another. Vasudev's shocked. How's he going to save his wife? How's he going to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a son? So many things must have been running in their minds when they're going through this. So that's our moment in this particular circumstance. Now, how do we apply that to who we are and where we are? If we can learn to cultivate a vision that we are the hero in our own sojourn, meant for Krishna's pleasure, in our own sojourn of becoming Krishna conscious and developing our love for Krishna, then that vision means that whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties, whatever enemies come our way, we should be enthusiastic to deal with them, not weak and, oh, there's so many problems, I'm become distressed and lament. This is not proper vision in Krishna consciousness. Who's one of the most spectacular heroes of our time? Srila Prabhupada. Look at the obstacles, the determination that he had to undergo to arrive in New York City with a trunk full of books and no money in 1965. 66 actually is when he went to New York. He went to Butler. So in 66, our hero to be arrives in New York City with no money and doesn't really know where to go or what to do, but he starts. 11 years later, he's riding down Fifth Avenue on a chariot with Lord Jagannath. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What a hero! But so much complication, so many difficulties. And what he's asked us to do is take this mission as your mission. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave me the instruction. Now you take it. This is our challenge. This is our mountain. And whatever obstacles and whatever difficulties arise, we should hit them straight on and help one another, assist one another, and in this way become heroes and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develop our love for Him, and oh, what a moment it will be when we get the hug, when we finally meet Him. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Verse again. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Any questions or comments? Sesha Prabhu?
Thank you, Dhruva Maharaj, for the class. So are you saying that Krishna's Leela is perfect in that literary sense that you were describing, or are you saying that Krishna's Leela, that literally, well, I know what you're saying, actually, and I appreciate it, so I should just say that Krishna's Leela is actually the essence of the literary expertise follows Krishna's Leela,
right. Yes,
rather than
is,
the other way around.
Everything else, all the different dramas and novels and thrillers and suspense and horror movies, all of them are kind of perverted or kind of like perverted reflections of his leelas, right? Because what's in the spiritual world is reality, and what we're here is, yeah, nice, very good. Pardon? Yes. Jai. Question is, was Vasudev informed that Devaki would be the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No, I don't think so. It was at the time of his birth, as far as I know, and that's all that I read was mentioned, that there was an omen, a voice that stated, you'll be, you know, this boy's son will be the Supreme Lord. We saw that also with Dushashan. I was thinking about that. Just like, back to our verbal root. There are temples in South India where when pilgrims go, as a sacrifice to the deity, they shave their heads, even the women. So the motive of the barber whose service is that, if they're pure-hearted, when they're, of course, there's different kinds of barbers, is that they're taking the hair, they're grabbing the hair, but they're cutting it as a sacrifice for the deity. Whereas the motive of Kamsa in grabbing Devaki's hair was, as mentioned here, with an inclination to kill her. And of course, Dushashan, when he grabbed Draupadi's hair, it was to drag her to the assembly house. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.